Good morning, everyone. Well, I've not got my face visor on today because I've been told that you can't hear this mic if I wear my face visor, so don't come near me, all right? I've had the most horrendous cold. It's not COVID. I've been testing up to here, but please don't come near me because I've had a cold, so I'll just warn you that to start with. Okay. I hope you were listening to the pre-service song. Does anybody know what it was? It is from a film, yeah. What's the name of the film? Yes? You're right, Linda. Say it again.
Love Story.
It's from Love Story, yeah. So you were right. Yeah, you were right. Okay. Hold on to that idea, because that kind of sets the tone for the service. Okay, our call to worship is mostly bits and pieces from Psalms and John's writing, with a tiny pinch of Tina Turner. All those who belong to the Lord, show how you love him. What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? First we were loved, now we love. We love because God loved us first. So why are you here? Why have you turned up? What have you turned up to do? To get something? Or to give something. This is how much God loved the world. He gave. He gave his son, his one and only son. So be watchful of yourselves to love the Lord your God. I've thrown myself headlong into God's arms. I'm celebrating his rescue. So with all our hearts, we praise you, God. We come and worship at your holy temple, and we praise you for your love and your faithfulness. Our first song might be a new one for some of you. It's actually written in 2000, so as far as I'm concerned, it's an old one. It's going to be sung, and it's going to be played to a track. So they're going to sing it for us. You can join in with the chorus because it's only got about six words, which is the hallelujah bit. And verse one is repeated as verse three, which is what it does anyway. So if you haven't got it by verse three, just join in with the choruses. But this is a nice praiseful song called Your Love is Amazing. And it comes in, so you need to be kind of ready.
Your love. Your love is a mystery. Have you just believed me when I am surrounded? Your love carries me. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Thank you.
It needs to be a bit louder because I'm really struggling to hear it. Sorry. Okay, we have a couple of prayers. First is a prayer of adoration. And the second is a prayer of thanksgiving, for which there'll be some words on the screen. And when I get to my line, you've got a couple of lines to say afterwards. So let's pray. Lord, you are beyond all images. How can we know you but through love? Without your love for us, we could not reach you. Unless you love us, we cannot approach you. But that you come to us, we could never find you. It is in knowing that you love us that we can dare to love you. Because your love is for all creation, when we love the world, we share in your love for it, and we are one with you. When we love our neighbour with acceptance and forgiveness, you reveal your love in us, and you are not far from any of us. And when we love ourselves with the love you have for us, then we can say we know you, even though you are beyond us, because you are in our midst. So now a prayer of thanksgiving, and this is using some words of a song called One Thing Remains. Higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change, one thing remains. Your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. On and on and on it goes. It overwhelms and satisfies my soul. And I never ever have to be afraid. Because one thing remains.
Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me.
In death, in life, I'm confident and covered by the power of your great love. My debt is paid. There's nothing can separate my heart from your great love. One thing remains.
Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me.
Your love will never change. We feel it burning in our hearts. Your perfect love, O Lord. One thing always remains.
Your love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on me.
Amen.
An ordinary man. He was an ordinary man, he who was betrayed with a kiss. Yet he calmed the winds and the waves, and they said, "What manner of man is this?" He was an ordinary man. They were always looking for an outward sign. They were astounded in Cana of Galilee when he turned water into wine. He was an ordinary man. In appearance, there was nothing in him to desire, no outward beauty or majesty, but inwardly there burned the most holy fire. His attraction was that he was ordinary, one of us, you may say. So he was despised and rejected by men. It's still the same today. But the same Jesus still walks the earth with all the truth that that imparts. He lives on in the lives of ordinary people, in the beauty of ordinary yielded hearts.
Thank you, Linda. I'm going to read you an anecdote. Dr. Robert Sizer, in his book Mortal Lessons, Notes in the Art of Surgery, tells this remarkable story of performing surgery to remove a tumour in which it was necessary to sever a facial nerve, leaving a young woman's mouth permanently twisted in palsy. These are Dr. Sizer's own words. Her young husband is in the room. He stands on the opposite side of the bed, and together they seem to dwell in the evening lamplight, isolated from me, private. Who are they, I ask myself, he and this wry mouth that I have made, who gaze at and touch each other so generously, greedily? The young woman speaks. Will my mouth always be like this? She asks. Yes, I say, it will. It's because the nerve was cut. She nods and is silent. But the young man smiles. I like it, he says. It's kind of cute. All at once, I know who he is. I understand and I lower my gaze. One is not bold in an encounter with God. Unmindful, he bends to kiss her crooked mouth, and I, so close, can see how he twists his own lips to accommodate hers, to show that their kiss still works. To some extent, we're all like the young lady in that account. We all have something about us that makes us and our lives twisted out of true alignment. We all don't quite work like we should, certainly in terms of our relationship with God. And in theological terms, we call it sin. And it's like having a symbol next to our name. It's like having this next to your name. And this symbol means wrong. Something is wrong that we can't put right. And that's the sin. And for us, it would always be like this. Rather like the young woman, we can't change it, we can't get rid of it. This symbol is red for danger. Because in sin, we're in danger of being lost forever. And with this in place, we can't even start to get close to God. But like the young husband in that story, God smiles. He knows what he can do. He can twist to fit our situation. And Jesus is rather like the young man, the young woman's husband. His eyes are on us, taking in every detail of how we present ourselves. He sees what we're really like. He knows what we really need. And he chooses to bend down towards us. He can take our wrong and he can just twist it around to make a cross. On the cross, you see, he took on himself all of our sinfulness. His deliberate action accommodates us, just like the young man's lips did in our need. And it's red for blood. That's his life sacrificed to save ours. And now it looks a little bit like an addition sign, because in this act on the cross, he's added to our lives. Well, what does he give us? He gives us what has been there all the way along, but what we couldn't realize and appreciate for ourselves, because Jesus enables us to twist, to fit, to see and know. Now, it's a kiss, a sign of our new close relationship with God. Through Jesus and with the Holy Spirit dwelling within, we can now have an intimate relationship with God. It's red, this time for love, the undefeatable quality, even through death. And it's this kiss that seals us with God's forgiveness. You could say we've been kissed better. So to slightly misquote John, for God so loved the world, and that includes each and every one of us, that he gave his one and only son Jesus, twisting to fit, to show us that our kiss still works, and that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And we're now going to sing part of that story in our hymn, Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean. Now, I have to warn you that there are 8 bars introduction, so don't come in too soon. I think that's about half the tune. And they sing it through twice, but the words will hopefully be up in the right places. And Steve, have it a bit louder this time. Thank you. Every one of us is part of that guilty world, needing to be kissed by God's vast tide of mercy and grace and love. So we come before God humbly in prayer. Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defence, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you when temptations come my way. When I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defence, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Amen. And now Linda is going to come and read us a letter.
Just checking, I don't know how these things work, so if it's on or not, but yes, you can hear me. Yeah. And I too have to apologise for the state of my voice. I am nursing a cold, as Elizabeth is. I have tested myself repeatedly. It appears to be just a cold. A love letter to you. My child, you may not know me, but I know everything about you. I know when you sit down and when you rise up. I am familiar with all your ways. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. For you were made in my image. In me you live and move and have your being. For you are my offspring. I knew you even before you were conceived. I chose you when I planned creation. You were not a mistake, for all your days are written in my book. I determined the exact time of your birth and where you would live. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. I knit you together in your mother's womb and brought you forth on the day you were born. I have been misrepresented by those who don't know me. I am not distant and angry, but am the complete expression of love. And it is my desire to lavish my love on you. Simply because you are my child and I am your father. I offer you more than your earthly father ever could, for I am the perfect father. Every good gift that you receive comes from my hand, for I am your provider and I meet all your needs. My plan for your future has always been filled with hope, because I love you with an everlasting love. My thoughts towards you are countless as the sand on the seashore. And I rejoice over you with singing. I will never stop doing good to you, for you are my treasured possession. I desire to establish you with all my heart and all my soul, and I want to show you great and marvelous things. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Delight in me, and I will give you the desires of your heart. For it is I who give those desires. I am able to do more for you than you could possibly imagine, for I am your greatest encourager. I am also the father who comforts you in all your troubles. When you are broken-hearted, I am close to you. As a shepherd carries a lamb, I have carried you close to my heart. One day I will wipe away every tear from your eyes, and I'll take away all the pain you have suffered on this earth. I am your father, and I love you, even as I loved my son, Jesus. For in Jesus my love for you is revealed. He is the exact representation of my being. He came to demonstrate that I am for you, not against you, and to tell you that I am not counting your sins. Jesus died so that you and I could be reconciled. His death was the ultimate expression of my love for you. I gave up everything I loved that I might gain your love. If you receive the gift of my son Jesus, you receive me. And nothing will ever separate you from my love again. Come home and I'll throw the biggest party heaven has ever seen. I have always been Father and will always be Father. My question is, will you be my child? I am waiting for you. Love, your dad, Almighty God.
Thank you, Linda. Now you've got something to do. Hopefully, you will all have a little brown envelope. It's yours, you have to keep it, we're not collecting it back, I have to say that before we start. So do with it what you will. But what I'd like you to do with it is kind of shake it down and rip open the top and carefully tip out the six little things that are inside it. And hopefully they will look something like this. Oh, there we go. It's a bit sunny, but you should have six little pieces of something with different colours on them, and they should be shades of a similar colour. You might want to do this on the seat next to you or on something, but what I'd like you to do is have a look at your six shades, and I'd like you to rearrange them in order of increasing intensity. So start with the lightest and then go up to the deepest. I'm not going to come around and look. So, but you can't cheat because you haven't got the same as somebody else. So you've got to look at them yourself. Yes, they are. Okay, I did mine. You can sort of see them on there. It's a bit bright to look at them. But hopefully you've got the lightest at one end and the most intense at the other end. Now this bit is for you alone. I'm not even going to look up. Out of those shades, from the palest, wishy-washiest, to the strongest, where would you put your finger along that line for the intensity of your faith? I'm not going to look. That's up to you. You don't even have to put your finger if you want, but have a think about that one. Now, the next question is, which shade represents the intensity of your love? And if you're anything like me, when I did it for myself, you kind of know where it should be and where you want it to be, but rather like Paul, it isn't quite what you want it to be and it's somewhere else, isn't it? But you can hang on to your shades and think about them, and maybe you could use them for other things to do with your faith and see where you rate on that scale. We're going to have the lectionary's Old Testament reading for today. And maybe you'd like to rate that on your scale while you're listening to it. Because this is the Street Bible version of Song of Songs, chapter 2. And it's a dialogue between two people. Ready? What's that? It's my lover. Look, he's on his way, pounding his long, muscular legs down the mountainside, leaping the streams on the adrenaline of coming to me. He's graceful as a gazelle, smooth as a stag, sheer poetry in motion. Now he's behind my back wall to see if I'm in. Listen, he's calling.
Come out with me, my beauty. Come on, it's a beautiful spring day. No rain, no winter chill. They've escaped north, leaving the summer to us. Come on out. Spring flowers are beginning to show, the blossoms in exhibition mode. The birds are back to give the soundtrack to our day. Get up, my lover, my beauty. Come out with me.
We don't get Song of Songs very often, do we, in our Bible readings? It somehow gets missed out. And however you choose to interpret it, and we're not going to have that theological debate this morning, it's certainly a song of love. There is one who is loved and one who loves, and that love grows and becomes reciprocal. And throughout all the beautiful imagery, there is an intense longing of one for the other, and that true love develops into a deep commitment. It's love that has a great intensity, rather like that sixth colour in your block of colours that you were sorting. And another word we could use for intensity is this one, passion. Here we go. Passion. It's going to make our arms tired, Linda. We know that God is passionate about us because it was expressed in that love letter that Linda read. But the question is, how much passion do we have for him? How much does he really matter to us? I'm going to read you the first verse and chorus of a Stuart Townsend song called My First Love. And we have sung it here, but a long time ago. And it says this: my first love is a blazing fire. I feel his powerful love in me, for he has kindled a flame of passion, and I will let it grow in me. And in the night I will sing your praise, my love, and in the morning I'll seek your face, my love. And like a child I will dance in your presence, or let the joy of heaven pour down on me. I still remember the first day I met you, and I don't ever want to lose that fire, my first love. And I wonder if you've noticed how several of today's hymns and songs, and certainly the first one and the last one, love of God is expressed to a desire to sing, because worship is nothing except a response to God's love for us. And for those of us who own his name, Jesus should always be our first love. But how hot is the flame of passion we have for him now? Is it still that blazing fire, or is it somewhat dim and cool? Have a look at this word, passion. And see if you can answer this question for yourself. Why is the faith to which Jesus called you like the hokey cokey? I'll say that again. Why is the faith to which Jesus called you like the hokey cokey? Maybe you have to think about the hokey cokey for a moment. I'm going to help you through it. You notice that the word passion has an I in it. I for me, each one of us. And in this word passion, the I is so static. It's kind of keeping its arms and legs close to itself, and you can hardly notice that it's there. But if you take the I out of the passion, you're left with merely pass on. In our relationship with God, are we merely passing on, going through the motions without ever making that real, deep, intimate connection? And is our love so static that we, as eyes, look like this, so that the world wouldn't hardly notice us? I'm going to let go now. Or are we animated? Are we singing and dancing and moving and active and passionate, so that you can tell we are alive for Christ and passionate for God? So, how much do you love him? And go back to that question. Why is the faith to which Jesus called you like the hokey cokey? Well, the answer is, if you think it through, ultimately, you have to put your whole self in. Just as another song put it, Jesus, all for Jesus, all I am and have and ever hope to be. And remember that when Jesus was asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important, his answer was, the most important is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So the most important thing we can do first is to love God and not pass on. So let's make sure we are putting all of ourselves, our whole selves in, and expressing all of our passion wholeheartedly. And I'm going to mention our take-homes, which you can collect on your way out, because your take-home have got on one side the word passion. But as you can see, the space of the eye is kind of a bit dim, a bit like the other end of your chart. But that's actually, when you look at it closely, a little box. And what I'd like you, or invite you to do, is put your name on there to write yourself into your passion. Put your name there, put your whole self in. And on the back, there's a really nice verse of a hymn, which we haven't sung today, which talks about God's love for us and then our love for God. We're going to make a response to what we've heard. Would you like to stand? We're going to put up some words to a once very popular, indeed 16-week chart-topping love song. It was written as a conversation between two lovers, very much like the dialogue from Song of Songs, with great and passionate words. But we're going to just reimagine them slightly as a call and response between Jesus and those who truly love him. So I'm going to read Jesus' part, and I invite you to read the other part for yourself. Look into my eyes and you will see what you mean to me. Search your heart, search your soul, and when you find me there, you'll search no more. Don't tell me it's not worth trying for. You can't tell me it's not worth dying for. You know it is true. Everything I do it for you. Look into your heart and you will find there's nothing there to hide. Take me as I am. Take my life, I would give it all, I would sacrifice. Don't tell me it's not worth fighting for. I can't help it, there's nothing I want more. You know it's true, everything I do it for you. There's no love like your love, and no other could give more love. There's nowhere unless you're there, all the time, all the way. Amen. And stay standing, because we're going to sing quite an old song now, which reminds us where God is to us, and it encourages us what we should do about it. And Ian has very kindly recorded this for us, and I think we've got 8 bars introduction, and I think it goes through 3 times. Serena, would you like to bring forward our offering? And if you'd just like to turn around and stand, hold it for a minute. I'm going to dedicate the offering. I'm going to use some words from Psalms and Hosea and Mark. Doing something for you, bringing something to you, that's not what you're after. Being religious, acting pious, that's not what you're asking for. You're after love that lasts, not more religion. You want us to know you, God. And so we answer. We're coming. We read in your letter what you wrote about us. And loving him with all passion and intelligence and energy, why, that's better than all the offerings and sacrifices put together. Amen. So a blessing before we go. Love without beginning and without end, ever faithful one, hidden mystery beyond all imagining, reality beyond words, presence beyond understanding, unseen yet ever near. Unfailing love from heaven's throne that sought me out and brought me home. My song of praise shall ever be the Father's love for me. Touch our hearts that we may know your love is your meaning, that before we knew you, you have loved us, and that love never ceases. Enlarge our hearts so that we can comprehend you in love. So, know God's love. Go in God's love. Grow into the knowledge of God's love, and show God's love to the world with all the passion you can muster. Amen.